Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. We have an exciting guest today, as always. We have Bridget Gildemaster. I apologize if I said your last name wrong.
No, that was perfect.
Okay, perfect. We're going to be diving deep with Bridget on, you know, how she has cultivated self-trust and how she teaches women to trust themselves. And Bridget has a fascinating story. She, you know, her first husband, she was in a very toxic relationship, which she'll discuss, and, you know, what she's learned from that and how she cultivated strength and self-trust to leave that extremely toxic relationship, as, you know, many women can relate to this, you know, being in a very, very toxic relationship and the consequences that it has on your health and your life. And so, so we'll dive deep with Bridget on that. But before we do, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for leggings, 100% natural facial masks, natural soaps, natural essential oils, aromatherapy diffusers, sage, Palo Santo, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Use code podcast 25 for 25% off all leggings and free shipping in the USA. So welcome, Bridget. Welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. So I was really captivated by your story, and it's a story that many, many women can relate to, you know, being in a toxic relationship, marriage, you were in a toxic marriage, you know, and having the strength and courage to leave the marriage. And it's not only you, you have children, you left with your children. And so talk to us about like your evolution. Like, what did you, like, how did you get to where you are today? Where now you're an author, you're a motivational speaker, and you're, you know, talking on self-trust and how to cultivate self-trust. Like, how did you get to that point to have that strength?
Yeah, absolutely. My story is actually really different because had it not been for him confessing to be a pedophile, I never would have left probably. And so that was a huge push out the door for me. You know, once I found that out, I was gone within a week because I had children, obviously, and that wasn't an option. So, you know, it started out much differently, but a lot of women I know can relate to knowing what that last straw is. And you'll know when you know, and you need to leave, you know? But it started off with, you know, we were just having struggles. I had no idea about narcissism, toxicity, you know, honestly, bad people in the world in a lot of ways, you know, just very naive, young 20-year-old. And just going through life, my eldest son had a heart condition. So we were thrown into that right away. We ended up moving like 10 hours across the country so that he could be in a specialized hospital when he was born and things like that. So that was very distracting to me as well. And I know played a huge part and just like kept going, you know, and brushed things under the rug and whatnot. But as things progressed, you know, like he wasn't treating me well. And now I realize like what the problem was his energy towards me, you know, like it's things that make you feel completely crazy saying like he said this or did that. And it's so minute and so small. You sound crazy. You feel crazy telling someone else, but it's the energy around it. And they truly do mean it to hurt you. They know, they get in your head and they get behind all that curtain, and they know you and are able to twist in your head and mind what is appropriate and what is not. And so we started going to marriage counseling, which was not helpful at all. Had some very, we had good counseling and we had bad counseling. I think something I really love to stress is how I'm religious. I'm a Christian, you know, but so much of the church is not educated on the manipulation that people can do. It's very black and white of like, you know, he's either cheating on you or he's not. I even got told, as him being a pedophile later on, that I wasn't allowed to leave him, you know, like they're super, super just like, I don't know, by the book, I guess, by the Bible. And like, and then it just messes with your head even more. Like you feel like you're being this completely dramatic drama queen, like, no, but truly this is wrong. Like, you don't understand, this is not going the way it should. And so we had, you know, we had a couple really good advice from some pastors, but there were some that were just like, oh my gosh, okay, I literally do know that that is wrong. Like, no, I'm not staying with him for that, you know? And so in that process, I've grown so much in my faith and stuff as well, because I've had to break away from everything I was raised with and redefine it, because the people who I was brought up to trust were telling me something I absolutely knew deep down in my heart was wrong. That I did need to leave him, and it was right. And there's no way I was going to live with, you know, a son. We had a daughter at the time who he confessed to having sexual desires towards. And then I was pregnant again. And there's no way I was going to live in that fear. I knew that was wrong. I knew God wanted more for me and more for my life. And that that's not what his desire was, you know, that's not living out a godly life. And so that was a huge struggle and battle and fight. And then after leaving, having to work through all of that, like the growth process really kicked in, and you don't think it is, and you think every day you're growing and you're not. And it's such a process to just slow down and sit with your feelings, sit with your thoughts, sit with your new identity. Because, you know, I was raised to be that good little Christian girl, got married, had kids, and now I was one of those divorced people, you know? And I even had like the excuse, you know, he was abusive, he was a pedophile, but it's still just like, you know, just teared at me, you know? And like, I'm really big into the Enneagram too. That has helped me immensely with dealing with my own feelings and success drivenness. I'm a type 3, so hugely success driven. And so, you know, this was the goal, and now I've done the complete opposite, you know? And so the biggest thing for me, the biggest growth for me, and it took years later, it took me three and a half years before I finally sat down and just like sat with my emotions and was like, okay, this is who I am. I am a single mom with three kids, you know, and this is where we're headed. You know, I got past, you know, I had to go through all the judgment of what either people were judging me with or what I felt like they were judging me with, and just that inner critic constantly having to rewrite what my nervous system had told me and recreate that trust in myself. Because even though he was a pedophile, he was a narcissist, and he completely destroyed me. Like that is what they do. They go after strong women. And that is something that helped me immensely once I found out that that is literally their goal, is to find these strong, beautiful, courageous women and just strip them. That's what they do. They know they're vulnerable. They know they're open book. It's easy to track their patterns, and that they just tear them down. And if we're not prepared for that and have those boundaries and stuff in place to protect ourselves, they're going to do it. And I've seen it done many times with friends and other people as well. And so having to rebuild that trust in myself of who I am, my confidence and everything, I'm still going through it. Still only about 5 years out from my divorce. And I still am, you know, okay, this is what I'm saying, this is what I'm doing. You know, I have good days and I have bad days, but that nervous system has been completely rewritten, you know, by them. And so that's, for me, that's the biggest thing to get over.
Beautifully said and well articulated. And you're absolutely right. Like, you know, like, I've experienced it myself as well. And we were never taught, you know, first of all, about narcissistic personality disorder ever. We were never taught discernment that these people are existing amongst our society. So initially we're all kind of naive until we actually like start experiencing it or run into educational material about it. So we can actually identify it, because there's so much people that are actually, because I've seen it myself as well, they're in narcissistic relationships, whether that's a coworker, whether that is a colleague, whether that is a so-called friend, whether that's a romantic partner, whether that's a husband or a boyfriend or girlfriend or wife. And they don't even, because they never were taught, and they're actually right now as we speak involved in, you know, narcissistic toxic relationships, and they're enduring it, and they haven't run across the material about narcissistic personality disorder. So this is something that we all should have been taught as young children. I think psychology needs to be taught in elementary schools for us we need to be equipped. We need to be prepared. How to treat people as well. I think they kind of do, like, you know, sort of. I know I went to a Catholic school, and I think if we get into like the psychology of it and the reasons why, I think especially children, we need to know why, the whys. It's like, don't touch the stove, don't touch the hot, it's hot, without any explaining, you know, no understanding, the child is going to touch the stove, right? So so that's a really great point. And I loved how you said you sat with yourself and sat with the emotions, and that you weren't like resisting them, right? You weren't like trying to distract yourself by saying, okay, well, I'm going to just head in, you know, what's next? You know, another relationship or diving deep in, you know, you weren't like resisting you were like just allowing to experience it and kind of process what's happened, as opposed to like, I think a lot of people resist and they don't, it's kind of like just facing your trauma. Like they don't want to, it's not sexy. It's just best to just like forget about it and just move on. Meanwhile, they don't understand it's actually living in your nervous system, and you will continue to kind of replay it out because you get addicted to those emotions, especially when you're in a narcissistic relation, when you've been in it for a long time, you get addicted to a certain cycle of rewards and punishments, which when it's a reward time, it's like you get the serotonin, you get those love chemicals being released. And then when it's the punishment time, you get, you know, the negative chemicals released in your body and feeling that fear and feeling that anxiety and stress. And then your nervous system is conditioned to feel a certain cycle of emotions on a repetitive basis. And your condition. Yes. So it's good that you've kind of sat with it to identify it. So looking back, like, what did you learn from that process? Like, did you identify, well, you mentioned you just didn't know, you were naive. So was that why you were able to be lured in and baited in? Like, or did you experience that particular type of relationship before where you were conditioned as a place of familiarity, or is just naive, just being naive?
Yeah, absolutely. You said it all right on the head. I think it was truly for me a naiveness. Like you said, I really do think it starts in childhood, and this is, you know, no fault to my parents or anything. You know, we only know as much as we know. But like in learning about this and raising my own children, it is so much, just like you said, that critical thinking. And I think, you know, in a way it's like a common sense way of teaching, but we have been taught not to do it, and it's been handed down. I really like to blame the baby boomers a lot for this if you look at their generational patterns, but like there was so much of just the no, because I said so. And while yes, you know, as a parent, I still say that, and you just don't have the time to slow down. There's so much value in slowing down and explaining to your child why, and having that conversation, you know, and taking the time. And it looks different for everything, and every child's needs for that are different. But even just teaching a child how to handle their emotions, you know, when you're raised to just grow up and get married, and, you know, even if you have a perfect example of a married couple, you don't get to see behind that curtain of everything they're dealing with, talking about, not talking about, how they're handling, you know, snide remarks from each other, or, you know, whatever daily, because I mean, it happens even in the best relationships, it's going to happen, and you're going to have good days and bad days. And just not even recognizing how to handle those emotions, and not even recognizing that this is anger, this is sad, this just hurt my feelings, you know? And so I really do think it came from that place of naiveness. And it was one of those things where it's just, well, he's a guy and he likes me, and here we go, you know, like, I'm not abhorred by him. So, you know, and you go with it, because that's kind of what you've been raised to do. I think there's also a certain aspect with Christianity of just that politeness, you know, of like, you're raised to be nice. And so he's not a horrible guy, you know, you didn't think he was dealing drugs on the street, or, you know, a pedophile or whatever. And so why not? Like, you have no reason to say no. Because and you can identify with, and especially, like, we don't talk about energy in the church, and we don't talk about how those emotions and feelings are going back and forth. And that's not witchy, that's not voodoo, that's not, you know, satanic. That is true. We all have energy. Like, this is scientific. This is how the trees communicate. This is how we connect with the earth. This is how our body functions. You know, our heart is literally electricity. There is energy in the world. And so I think those huge things of just recognizing emotions, just the fact that we have emotions, and then how to handle them. And then, like you said, teaching our children how to handle those emotions and how to express them properly. You know, it's really hard, but it's hard. It's much easier to just tell a child, no, don't do that, versus saying, okay, but that's not how we respond. You know, and especially at younger ages, like 4, when they're completely, you know, they're really young to start hearing it, but it does make a huge difference in our response to their emotions, in teaching them how to respond with their emotions, if that made sense. So I think that's really where it did start for me, was just a naiveness and an awareness that wasn't there. And then I loved what you said too about just, like, once I finally did sit with those emotions, what I did, and I've heard other people who are much further along in their journey recommend it afterwards too, is just sitting down and writing. And you just write and write and write and write your story. And that's what I did. And hoping soon to have my book published. And along with, I have a collaborative book coming out later this year, but my full book is my story. You know, it was just reflecting. I wrote from a perspective of, yes, it was a book for me to write, but I also wrote with the idea that no one's going to see this. And so literally there's everything in there. Like, my heart and soul is in there. Things from my childhood, things from my teen years, things from, you know, just these little one incidences where it's like, why did that always stand out to me? You know, and now that I've wrote it, I've actually forgotten about a lot of it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote about that, you know, and these experiences that were hugely shaping for me, in whether how, you know, I was treated as a child, or an incident that happened. And, you know, maybe it's no fault of anyone else's, but it's my perception of the world and how I came across and how it helped shape me. But just to sit with that, and that's, you know, reflect on all that history and bring it up to that point of, and now this is what happened. It really did. You could just see, like, the patterns lining out of why I made the choices I did in life, you know, what made me feel comfortable. And even though I wasn't raised in a toxic home or around a narcissist, or had any of those kind of previous tendencies that do also lead to marrying narcissists and staying in romantic relationships with narcissists, I didn't have that. I think it was, like, there was just other underlying things that also led to that, those safety feelings of trusting on someone else, because I wasn't taught as a child to trust myself. You know, you have all those doubts, self-doubts, you know, unreliability of yourself. And I don't think it was an intentional thing. I just think it's how we were, like, society at the time was teaching us how to raise our children, you know, in our generation. So that was huge for me. And then what also, in that time when I did slow down and just write and write and write and write, like, that's all I did for weeks. I quit trying to guess what was next. I quit trying to, while I did have some great healing, I went and, you know, like I just dropped everything. I got in the car. We basically picked a spot on the map, rented an Airbnb and drove 15 hours away from, I was staying with my parents shortly after the divorce, and just left. You know, there was huge healing in that for me too, to just have that spontaneity, that freedom, that, you know, regaining myself in that way. There was so much also of just like sitting down and not saying things like, you know, well, wouldn't it be cool to go do this and prove so-and-so? Wouldn't it be cool to say, you know, and like have this agenda for other people to, you know, like their perception of me again, oh, she got divorced, she did all this, but now she's doing this. Wow, that's cool. You know, and actually just, I don't have to prove anything to anybody else. I don't have to have this cool, amazing story. And whatever story you come up with is never going to happen anyway. You know, it's kind of like when you're 15 and dreaming about a boy and you dream about all these scenarios that are going to happen. They never actually come true. You know, every rom-com possible, right? And just letting life flow and finding that own peace, your own inner peace in that moment, in that day, in that present moment, and just slowing down and sitting with it and reflecting. And, you know, tuning in even to your body, because again, the body keeps score of what's going on too. Like my nervous system is shot. I'm still working on that, you know, like still having to, you know, I still have anxiety attacks, a self panic attacks thing. The weirdest things will trigger me and I will just be in another world and working through like stepping back and like, okay, wow, I overreacted to that, you know, and why, and figuring out why, so that next time it's just easier and easier and easier, and getting to that point where you find that inner peace for yourself and what that is and what that looks like and what you're okay with, and just like letting life flow and come to you is the best life lesson ever. So even though it feels good to run off and be, you know, do all the cool adventurous single woman divorce things, the biggest lesson really was to just find your own peace. Peace is where you are. You can't go find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, you know, it's, hold on 1 second. Hold on. I'm just going to pause this podcast 1 second. Sorry. I had a phone. So I think that that's kind of the theme, what's emerging for most people is they're recognizing the value of their inner peace, like as opposed to distracting themselves with the next, you know, distraction. Because I think we've gotten to a point, most people have to, or they're recognizing if they don't cultivate that inner peace themselves, they're just going to recreate chaos over and be attracted to chaos. So it's learning how to call, and that is actually one of the reasons why I actually created Happy Being Well, because I had to, you know, through my meditation practice, through the long hot bath, you know, through my dedicated skincare ritual, I was learning to produce inner peace and getting addicted to it, like conditioning my nervous system to feel that peace. And I was providing it to, most importantly, I was providing it for myself. I wasn't relying on any external factors to produce that peace, right? So for me, I had to go through a long journey of like really realizing like I didn't really have a lot of self-worth. I think that it's I didn't really recognize what that even really meant. So, you know, and then once I, because you're more easily baited into a narcissistic relationship because that's what they serve on a platter to hook you in, is like, you know, and if you don't learn how to cultivate self-love for yourself and your self-worth, you're going to be hooked. You're going to stay hooked in because you're not providing it for yourself. Therefore, you're going to be extra, extra reliant on it in during the reward cycle, when you're in that reward cycle. So you'll put up with the punishment.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you know the rewards are going to follow suit, as long as you do what you're told, type of thing. So,
Oh, they totally train you. Absolutely. And it's a cycle that you look for. And that's, you know, I think that's why for me, there was so much going on in my marriage, you know, even with my son and everything. And that's why I ran, you know, was because I was just looking for that next high of chaos. Like I literally for a very long time produced my own chaos in my life and didn't even realize it because that's what I was searching for. I was searching for the random fight, the random, you know, whatever. And that's not me. And that's not who I am even. And I didn't even recognize that until you're comfortable with yourself and you're comfortable with your mess and you're comfortable with how your life is going and who you are. So totally, totally, it's a pattern that you have to relearn of how to walk your life.
Mm-hmm. So what else did you do to kind of repattern yourself besides, you know, being alone with yourself, just to feel those emotions so you can identify it, feel it, process it. Most importantly, in order to release it, sounds like you had, did you end up getting complex post-traumatic stress?
I've never gone to therapy or done anything, but you know, in my own self-study and everything, I'm absolutely, yeah, I've had, I basically tell people I've like, yeah, PTSD because it's there. You know, I've had panic attacks where I'm literally on the floor crying and I can't control it. Like I've had to call my parents, call my friends to come over because I'm physically incapable of taking care of my children at that time. It happened a couple of times and where it was that drastic and I've learned to cope with it. I'm into a lot of herbs and, you know, like you said, meditation is just inner peace and learning to recognize those triggers and to calm myself down and feel like it's okay. You know, I prioritize, you know, my lifestyle. If it doesn't fit into my lifestyle and it doesn't work and it's stressing me out, I cut it out. And that goes everything from, you know, activities. I keep our schedule very minimal. My kids don't do like every activity that's possibly available to them. I don't jump and go do anything that, you know, disrupts our peace. And even including relationships and friendships, I've had to cut out of my life because they were just so derogatory and negative. And even if like it seems so innocent and they would, you know, seem to be just like giving ignorant advice and you should be able to brush that under the rug and walk away and, you know, turn the Christian cheek to that. I couldn't. Like my nervous system was so shot. It hurt so bad. It would just send me into this frenzy of rethinking my whole life over these one comments of, well, you should be doing this, or, you know, God is a God of reconciliation, or, you know, second marriages lead to child abuse, you know, like all these things people would tell me, you shouldn't be dating anymore, you know, because of that. And like all these things, and to just walk away and just be like, you know what, if you're not worth listening to me and my story and where I'm at and what I'm doing, it's not worth this friendship because you're just stressing me out. You know, and so I've had to walk away from friendships. I've had to really, you know, implement that schedule. Like I said, I'm that type 3 driven person. So I do love being active. I think that's where that comes from for me in that trauma response of like always going to the next thing and reproducing that chaos because I like to be busy. I do like to be out. I'm a intro extrovert type person. I do love my quiet time dearly, but I do need socialization as well. And so, you know, for me to cut back on the calendar has been a lesson for me even. I'm just like slowing down and prioritizing my emotions and feelings, my body. And in turn, it's also doing that for my kids because when mom's stressed, everybody's stressed and it doesn't go well. We all know that. And so, so that's been a big one for me. Like in your growth, you will also have loss. And it's hard. It's really hard because, you know, whether it's because you're addicted to it or these are things you enjoy doing, but you have to take a step back and you have to make those boundaries for yourself. And whether it's losing activities or friends or family members even, and walking away from them, even, you know, and it doesn't always have to be forever. you know, sometimes it's just a short time while everybody calms down and lets life flow and you can come back, but, you know, walking away when it's truly important, was another huge tool for me. Another big thing for me was, like I've been saying, the Enneagram, like learning who you are, like truly knowing why you do what you do, not just, you know, well, that's just me. Oh, well, I'm a mess, you know, that, you know, I have trauma, or, you know, using any excuse, but truly embracing who you are and realizing that even the things you do aren't bad, even if it comes across as chaos, because your reasoning behind it is correct. You know, like, I hope that makes sense. But like, I had so much struggles with like what people thought of me, you know, my life was messy. It was chaos. I was one of those drama queens. I had so much struggle with those internal thoughts and like identifying myself with what the world told me I was versus who I actually was and my personality type. Of course I'm success driven. I'm gonna be kind of a hot mess because I'm gonna try all the things. I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna be brave. I'm gonna be daring. I'm going to do these things. I'm gonna be the outspoken one in the room. I'm going to say what I think. I am an open book. That's, you know, like there's all these things. I'm not the meek, quiet one in the corner, and that's okay. And there's also nothing wrong with being the meek, quiet one in the corner. Like, we all play these different roles in society, and it must makes us amazing, because if we didn't, life would be really boring and even potentially more chaotic. So, but like learning so much about just myself and why I do what I do, why I think the way I do, why I'm wired the way I do, really helped also with my trauma and why what happened, why what affected me as a child, you know, affected me the way it did, why what effective way my husband treated me, you know, leaving, handling that huge life crisis, really helped me grow knowing that why behind it versus just, well, that happened and I did that. So yeah, those are some big things that really helped me.
Awesome. I love that. And I think even for myself too, I think a lot of, we always hear, you know, especially, you know, going to personal development events, a lot of people end up going to, you know, because they're trying to build a business. So a lot of them go to personal development events. And, and like the very popular thing they say, like the first thing they say is cut off all talks with people. But I don't think people understand like the consequences of having toxic people in your life, because, well, I can speak for myself because I would hear this all the time. And I still had toxic people in my life, like friendships, relationship. And so I think I was always like, oh, I'm just strong enough to like, you know, to counteract that, or, you know, whenever they're spewing off negativity or trying to do indirect, like their favorite thing to do is like indirect digs or whatever to make themselves feel better or whatever it is, or they're just not reciprocating the same energy that you're giving. And it just doesn't feel good, right? It can be frustrating. It feels the feelings of frustration, draining. It's draining your energy. And the minute I realized like, hey, you know what? This is a part of the self-worth journey. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm worth more than that. Like worth more than this. Why am I putting up with this? And this is taking away from me, right? Cause it's like taking my energy. It's taking my time. Now I'm having bouts. They're just giving me anxiety and stress, and that's going into my nervous system. It's affecting my health, or I'm getting tired. Sometimes I would have to take a little nap after talking with them. Right.
Absolutely.
And then you have to like, you get so frustrated. It's like, I just want to just call another friend and kind of just vent from what that person had said to me. Right. It's like so not healthy. It's like, you know, it's like, why am I, you know, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be super, super strong and get, you know, just like nothing, no one will say will ever won't affect me. But it's like at the same time, your subconscious mind hears and sees all. And even though you consciously know it doesn't mean anything, it's still, you know, you're still exposing yourself to that negative energy because it's going into your subconscious programming, because so it's very, very important that we just, why we need to cut it off, because we need to give more energy and time to love and joy and success. You know, we can be pouring into people that really love us and we love them back, or into your business or your career, right? So, or time alone to do self-care activities, make yourself feel better, recharge yourself. There's so many reasons why we need to cut off toxic people, because it's really vital and necessary to live a healthy life.
Absolutely. Like, it has been such a struggle to have that self-worth and value. Like, you are valuable. You are precious, you are loved, you are worthy of all these things. And honestly, by treating yourself like you're not, actually just devalues yourself. And it comes across to other people. That energy is in the room. If you devalue yourself, other people are going to devalue you and walk all over you and abuse you even more, because you're allowing them to. It is your choice to do that. And so by standing up for yourself, by knowing your needs, knowing your wants, knowing that whatever your life story is, no matter how messy it is, no matter how, obviously I haven't really gotten into detailed nitty-gritty fights or anything like that, and it feels just horrible to talk about whatever those details are that have happened, it is your story and it's beautiful. You know, even if it comes down to, like I said, you've made a wrong choice, it's still part of your story and it's beautiful. And there's a reason for why that happened. There's a reason why you made those choices. And coming to that really gives you another layer of that inner peace where you're okay with life. You know, you can't walk around with that guilt. You can't walk around hating yourself for, you know, a conscious or unconscious choice that has been made. You can't drag that with you. And so part of that with toxic people is that's what they do. They just keep bringing it up over and over and over again. And it is who you are. It is your identity. Like, I carried things with me from friends with high school into my mid-20s because that was my identity with them. That was the joke of how who you were, you know? And that's great. And like you said, sure, you think you can handle it, but it really does hinder your growth. It hinders your personal growth. It hinders your own self-love. And we're meant to grow and change. You know, I love things on Instagram and stuff. In my earlier growing days, you would have these things like, if you knew me a year ago, say hi to me again, because I'm a totally different person now. Like, we need to recognize that, you know, and I think especially in family, that's really hard, you know, with siblings and parents, and because you are who you are, you know, and our close friends and high, you know, best friends from high school kind of thing. I think that's really hard to embrace that we're both changing and we need to be open to that change and that new person who wakes up every day and a new facet of, you know, what you're loving about yourself. And sometimes even from friends, like, taking advice from them is the hardest thing. Like, you know, I have friends who've gone through the same thing. I seem to attract people now who go through divorces and are going through struggles, and that energy flows towards me. And we, you know, like, if your best friend or sibling or something is going through something, you can say something till you're blue in the face and they will not hear you. And then they'll go to this one thing or talk to this one stranger and they're like, oh my gosh, I totally, like, this clicked for me. And you're like, yeah, I know. You know, and even they will say, that's what you've been saying. And, you know, so sometimes those closeness is really hard, and to sort of give each other the grace to grow is so important, you know. And if your relationships aren't doing that, if they aren't allowing you to change and evolve and allow life to happen to you, you know, if you're being guilt tripped for every little thing, new thing you choose to do, a job change, a move, a marriage, a child, you know, how you raise your child, how you just go about your life, it's time to step away, you know? And like I said, there's different stages of that. There's different levels of that, from temporary to just distancing, or maybe it needs to be permanent, you know? And only you can know that with those relationships. And maybe it gradually happens. Maybe you try to step away and they're just not getting the point. And so you end up having to be you know, really firm and just like, no, you're not allowed to talk to me anymore. You know, we're not communicating. But just embracing that, coming to that and knowing that, you know, that grace that we live in, we have to have grace with ourselves, because life is going to happen. Life is messy. Life is hard. We're sinful human beings. And we have to know that we can't sit here and have all that hanging over our heads every day and carry that with us, that we're screwed up, we're messing up, we're doing it all wrong. You know, we have to go forward knowing that we're doing our best. It's okay. And keep going and love yourself for it, even for the mistakes, because they all have a purpose.
Absolutely. That was some gold right there, guys. That was real pure gold just right there. Yeah, I mean, everything has a purpose, and life is teaching us, you know, what we need to be aware of and what we need to heal, what we need to learn. I mean, that's just how life goes, right? So that's just the nature of life. You know, we literally, like, for me, life is like all about learning. It's all about progression, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
I mean, when we look at nature, I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, everything is all about progressing, or transmuting, right? Nothing is, forever, right? The only thing that we can count on is change. So we might as well embrace it. And, you know, learn how to transmute the bad to good, right? Transmute that negative energy into good, because that's what nature does. And yep. So, you know, and the more and more I like learn about nature, the more and more I understand everything. And it's like the best way to guide you to transmute and to really just see the lesson, see how you can grow, how you can be better and live a better quality of life and form a better healthy relationship with yourself, because that is the most important relationship you're going to have. You know, we entered this world alone, we're going to exit the world alone, right?
Yeah.
And so, and therefore, when you actually are able to cultivate a healthy relationship with yourself, you're going to want to be around healthy people, and you're going to attract healthy people, and you're going to able to have healthy relationships. And it starts with yourself. So self-trust is so vital as well. So how did you cultivate self-trust?
I feel like that's like a million steps and it looks different, but, I think the biggest thing, and I think it depends on the person too, and like, again, like your personality and what you struggle with, but like for me, that self-trust is building that confidence and just like retelling myself things that are true, like reiterating it over and over. When something would happen, you know, telling myself, you know, evaluating the situation, of course, because I also don't want to be naive again. So I go through that process. But then, you know, telling yourself either, you know, that's not what happened, this is what happened, and just keep telling yourself that over and over and over and over again. Or if, you know, it was a toxic situation and, you know, it did come across the way it was meant to come across, like what your response, like, even if you didn't respond the way you wanted to respond in that moment, tell your subconscious what you're going to do and say next. Stand up for yourself in your own head, in your own mind, and in yourself first. You know, I love what you were saying a little bit ago. It is a huge part of it, of like, so much of us is, you know, like not denying ourselves, you know, like a huge part of in the Christian community, especially, is like, deny yourself. Everything about your human nature is evil. Well, it's not. Again, it goes back to everything we've been talking about with emotions and all of that. It's not evil. We were created in God's image from the very beginning, and we are perfect. It just so happens sin came into the world and made things really confusing, you know? And so those things are good. And we have to recognize that the feelings we're feeling are good, and it's okay. it's okay to have these things. It's how we react to them and how we handle them. And so, and it starts in our nervous system. It's just amazing to me how much we have to rewire that nervous system and our subconscious. You know, you can refer to it either way, I guess, and tell it, you know, tell it what is reality, you know? And I think there's a lot of things that have come into play in doing that with self-talk, self-love for me, like a lot of self-care for me, that slowing down for me, going completely against my nature for me was a huge lesson, you know, slowing down that busyness, you know, taking the bath, sitting with my kids, you know, making them the priority, you know, rewriting all those things, stepping out of my comfort zones in ways that I'd always wanted to. I think there's a huge part of us too in our childhood. I think we're all, we get delayed as adults. I think we're adults much younger than what people say. You know, we're much more mature. We have a brain, we have a mind. We're treated like children at a much younger age. And so for me, I always go back to my inner child of like 12 years old, between 12 and 15. And so many times what my life goals end up being were the life goals I had at that age. And I just think that's really cool. Like we already, like back then we knew who we were. And then it was the world that changed us, the world that influenced us, that made us think differently, pulled us away from ourselves, you know, either toxic relationships or society or whatever, telling us that that's not normal, that doesn't fit into society. You know, well, we don't need to fit into society. We need to be our own unique selves. And so for me, like going back and finding that and being like, oh yeah, I always wanted to do this, you know, and actually doing it or taking a step in that direction. You know, I love plants and love growing things. I've always had, I had a bedroom full of plants, even at a young age. And so to embrace that about myself, you know, is a huge confidence boost. It sounds so simple and so minute, but you know, just taking back what is yours, like your interests, your wants, your desires is a huge self growth development. You know, I always knew I wanted to be an author and write a book, and somehow that has just come out now, you know, it's like, oh yeah, where did that go? You know, like, and being like a motivational person, like I've always wanted to make a change. I've always wanted to make a difference. And even though I never could put it into words, now that I have put it into words, that I want to make women feel valued. I want them to feel confident. I want them to feel amazing with their messy life. That is exactly what I felt back then. You know, and so just embracing that part of yourself really helps with that self-love and trust and, you know, realizing that it all lines up and it's all okay. Like it isn't as chaotic as it feels, and it's okay to be chaos. If it's not chaos, you probably need to worry. That's what I tell myself all the time. Things are going really smooth right now. You know? And so it's like you said, always looking for change, you know, like change is a good thing, like stepping forward and embracing that and just letting life flow and come to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, we live in a duality, right? And we're never going to experience, you know, even though we're cultivating this awareness and we're learning basically tools to deal with stress and release stress and achieve more clarity, achieve more self-love, achieve more self-trust, to be more empowered so that we live a much more healthier and mm-hmm. successful life as a result of self-mastery, emotional mastery. Doesn't mean that life is going to be perfectly perfect and zen all the time. It just means that yes. when we encounter a difficult situation, we know how to deal with it in a healthy way, as opposed to like embodying that chaos in our nervous system and becoming histrionic, like hysterical reaction, and completely derailing us and not dealing with it and responding in a healthy way. I mean, now we can respond in a healthy way and find a solution. We have that awareness and those tools, those mental tools and emotional tools to do that. And the more and more we practice it, the better we get at it. That's why we're able to achieve that emotional and mental mastery. It just takes practice over and yes. over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And yes, unfortunately, it takes time. It's really yeah. hard to embrace that, but it does. You can't yeah. just be like, oh, I'm 2 months out. Oh, I'm 3 years out. I should be I should be healed. I should be past this. I shouldn't be having, you know, an anxiety attack right now. This shouldn't bother me. But just embracing that it doesn't bother you. It does bother you. And that's okay. And work through it and let it get better and better for the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes you, and just, and more importantly, making you more stronger too. So you're, you know, you're again, just having that more fuel to deal with difficult situations and overcoming them much more with more ease and grace, compared to just, again, like just being histrionic, right? Just letting it completely cause chaos in your nervous system, thereby whatever's in our nervous system becomes a reflection of our life, what's in our external world, right? So,
or absolutely,
right? So yeah, it's like this, we're just playing this dance, you know, with the inner world and the external world. It's like this energetic dance. And yeah, I completely agree. Everyone needs to kind of be on the bandwagon that everything is energy. I mean, if you look at a human being that's near their death in the hospital, what are they doing? They're literally transmitting energy, electricity into their body to revive them using those defibrillators. So for revival. So it's like, okay, we're energetic beings.
Yep.
They're injecting energy to revive us, right? Literal electricity, right? So yeah. Yes, very... So we need to acknowledge, embrace truth more, right? Like just again, looking at nature, which we are a part of nature.
our human absolutely, body, yeah.
Right? Actually, our human bodies are made out of, you know, we have like, is it stardust? We have particles from the universe in our body, we're made up of that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This was a fabulous conversation, Bridget. It was really, really insightful. And thank you so much for sharing your personal experiences with us. It was, you know, I find extremely valuable, loved listening to it. It's super inspiring and empowering to anybody out there that is relating to your story and going through this and trying to heal and have, you know, through awareness, through education, through cultivating those mind tools to embrace a much more healthier life and to be happy being well, right? And so thank you. So if anybody wants to like learn more about you or purchase your book, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Instagram. It's all my social media is basically my name. So Bridget is Bridgette.Gildemaster, GILDEMASTER. And it's mouthful. So I'm on Instagram mainly, and then Facebook as well. I do have a website, BridgetGildemaster.com. And I do this because of what I've went through, I don't want to see anybody else go through with it. So I just also thank you so much for allowing me to be on here and share my story. And I really hope it helps and impacts even just one woman. You know, I also speak up for my own children because I want them to know my story. I don't want to hide this and push it under the rug and have them wonder what happened to mom. You know, why does mom act like that? What is she going through? And I do it so that, you know, even if I just impact them through speaking out, you know, it just changes one life. And so I would love to hear if anybody has questions or stories too. You can reach me through my email, which is inquire@BridgetGildemaster.com as well.
Okay. Yeah, cool. And so your book, if someone wants to purchase your book, where can they go?
Yes. So I'm collaborating on a book right now. So I will have a chapter in that, and it is coming out later this late summer and fall. We've had to set back our launch date a little bit, but so we're re-collaborating on that right now. But it'll be available pretty much anywhere. It's called She is an Overcomer. And it'll be on Amazon, and of course I'll be posting about it and everything too. So you'll be able to find out more of an exact date once we know for that too.
Awesome. Okay, so guys, I'm going to have her website posted on the show notes in the podcast episode description. So you can, depending on where you're listening in from, you can either copy and paste it and put it on your browser, or if it's a clickable link, click on it, go to her Bridget's website, check out what she's got going on. Do you have, like, I think you have, do you have an email newsletter that they can enroll in?
I don't right now. I'm just starting up my blog too. So that will be coming out later this year. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, follow her on Instagram to stay in touch with Bridget. And I'm sure she'll be doing amazing, amazing things in the future. She, you know, I'm very, very impressed with what Bridget has to say today. So if you want to, if you're on a healing journey, follow Bridget and learn more from Bridget. All right, guys, sending you lots of light and love. And remember, be happy being well. And if you enjoy this episode, subscribe so you don't miss another episode. All right, guys, and remember, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for all organic self-care goodies, including crystals, leggings, Palo Santo, sage, essential oils, organic bath soaps, organic natural deodorants, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Subscribe to their email newsletter to get 10% off your first purchase on any item. Free shipping always in the USA. All right, guys, light and love. Remember, be happy being well, live happy being well.